Good morning. Thank you for being here on another gorgeous first day of the week. Now, most Bible students know that the work of the church is saving souls, which is preaching the gospel, providing for its poor, and edifying itself. These are the thus saith the Lord, and not just strong implications. The number of figures of speech by which the Lord identifies his church is referred to as the following: A, the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16, the house of God, 1 Timothy 3:16, the vineyard of the Lord, Matthew 20 and verse 8, verse 1, and the kingdom of the Lord, Matthew 4 and verse 17, and other places. Each of these figures tells us something about the Lord's church and is worthy of our study. But this morning I want to talk to you about the church, the Lord's candlestick, the candlestick. In Revelation chapters 1 through 3, the church is compared to a candlestick. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation 1, Jesus is seen standing in the midst of the candlesticks in verses 12 and 13. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Now the candlesticks are specifically identified as the churches of the Lord. Now look at verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angel of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So our Lord is not a distant, unconcerned Lord, but one who is among us in the midst of the churches. So you may ask yourself, how and why should my Lord Jesus love me? But he does. He did. Our Lord is so closely and intimately involved with the church here at Prairie Village and with each congregation and individual which comprise the church here that we should say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The first verse of the letter to the church at Ephesus reaffirms this. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Revelation 2 and verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Brethren, never think for one second that Jesus doesn't know what is taking place right here at Prairie Village and every congregation of the world. He knows the good and the bad. He knows the various hardship that some are enduring. He knows the suffering. He knows the heart in each and every one of us. The Lord knows the leadership at Prairie Village and every congregation, how they're functioning in that position of work. He knows who is faithful and who is not. He knows who loves the brethren and who doesn't. He knows if each of you are doing all you can or not, and where he fits in your personal list of priorities. I find it amazing that the Lord knows when we have a word of encouragement for a brother or sister who needs it. At the same time, if there's any gossip or ungodly discussion going on, he knows that too. A good question is, How does knowing that Jesus is in our midst and knowing what is going on make you feel? It should be a source of encouragement and comfort to us. But if it makes you feel uneasy, then you and the Lord know why. The Hebrew writer gives a practical application of the Lord being among us and knowing perfectly all things. Let's turn over to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. In verse 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now I'd like for you to go back to Revelation chapter 2, if you would, please. I'll read verse 5. Revelation 2 and verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick, or lampstand, out of his place, except thou repent. He says, I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick. We must understand what Jesus is saying to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Let's read that now. Revelation 2, 1 through 7. Jesus is speaking and he says in verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Listen now. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. They had lost their zeal, brethren, and devotion that they had had 30 years or earlier when that congregation was established. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. As I said earlier, we must understand what Jesus is saying to the church at Ephesus. The letter begins with a good commendation, a commendation. Jesus is in the position to evaluate the spiritual conditions at Ephesus as he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Jesus commends them for the three virtues that they exhibit. First, he praises them for their labor. Second, Jesus praises them for their patience. And third, they are commended for their doctrinal soundness. But there is one basic complaint against Ephesus. The congregation lacked love, verse 4. Jesus told them to do three things. He says, remember from whence thou art fallen. Repent. And do thy first works. Their first works do not mean their obedience to the command by which they became Christians, but to their works in teaching the truth in righteous living. The meaning of verse 5, I will come, means something will happen in the future. This does not mean a personal coming, but in some kind of a judgment that would fall upon the church. Just how or what that would be is not stated. To remove the candlestick or the lampstand would mean to take away the light. It means Jesus would withdraw his fellowship from it. The candlestick, we're told, was the church itself. Let's consider the things taught about the church under the figure of being the Lord's candlestick. First of all, the church gives off light to the world in darkness. As we know, the world is filled with darkness. Darkness is a situation of being void of life, of light. It is used to describe one's condition when the light of the revelation of God's word is not shining. Consider some of these verses that describe the world as lying in darkness and the gospel is bringing light to that darkness. I want to read three or four passages. If you would, come with me to Matthew 4 and verse 16. Now the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadows of death, light is sprung up. Now let's look at Luke 1 and verse 79. To give light to them to sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. John 3:19. Jesus said in John 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. One more, look at John 8:12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God is the source of true life. He is described as light in 1 John 1:5, as Jesus is described as light in John 1:4-5. When Jesus came into the world, men saw the light of his star and went into search of the Messiah in Matthew the 2nd chapter. Jesus came as a light to those who were in darkness. The gospel reveals that light. The Bible reveals a way from darkness to light. It reveals the path of light, exposing what is sinful and what is righteousness. It expresses how the word of the Lord enlightened the eyes and shows men what light is and what darkness is. Christians are light, brethren. Christians are light in the same sense as a moon gives a light. The moon is not a source of light. It merely reflects the light of the sun. And we are mirrors reflecting the light of the sun. That's S-O-N. Individually, we are lights. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5. In verse 8, Paul said, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. 1 Timothy 3:15, if you would. First Timothy 3:15, brethren, as a congregation, we are God's light in the world. Verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what the church is, the pillar and the ground of truth. But not all candlesticks are equally bright. Consider with me again, if you would, the book of Revelation. The candlesticks are used to describe the seven churches of Asia. The Lord was fully aware of the condition of each church. The Lord was in the midst of the candlesticks. Each letter begins with Jesus saying, I know. He knows the condition of the church. The Lord just as certainly knows what is going on in the midst of the church here at Prairie Village, and which you and I are members, as He did in the churches in the first century. If the Lord was to write to the church at Prairie Village, what would He say? Of the seven churches of Asia, not all the candlesticks was equally bright. The church of Ephesus was in danger of losing its candlestick because it had left its first love, albeit it was doctrinally sound. The church of Smyrna shined brightly in the midst of persecution. The church of Pergamos allowed its light to be dimmed by their ongoing fellowship with those who taught the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. If they did not repent, God promised to fight against them with the sword of His mouth. The church of Thyatira tolerated the immoral teachings of those who believe or could commit fornication and eat meat sacrificed to idols. The church of Sardis was basically dead, although a few in the dead church were still alive. The church of Philadelphia was clinging fast to the Lord in face of bitter persecution. And the church of Laodicea was lukewarm and they needed to repent. Which of these churches, think, brethren, which of these churches more nearly resembles the light that we remit here at Prairie Village? By the way, none of these churches are there today. They've all been taken care of. They're all gone. Also, the church at Corinth and Crete and Patmos are gone too. God removed the candlesticks. What are some of the things that darkens one's light? At Ephesus, the loss of one's first love. At Pergamos, the acceptance of false teachers. At Thyatira, the acceptance of worldliness. At Sardis, spiritual deadness. Laodicea, lukewarmness. There are many different things that can cause the church's light to flicker or be vanquished. Bitter infighting and division causes church to lose their light. So again, I ask you, which of these churches more nearly resemble the light that we remit here at Prairie Village? What are some of the things that makes one's light bright? At Ephesus, it's doctrinal loyalty. At Smyrna, faithful in the face of severe persecution. At Pergamos, not denying the faith. At Thyatira, love, service, faith, patience, and works. At Sardis, a few names that had not defiled their garments. At Philadelphia, continued work of obedience in the face of many trials. At Laodicea, opening the door to the Savior who wanted inside that can cause this church's light to shine brightly, such as intense brotherly love for one another, commitment to work through problems together. Again, I ask you as members of the Prairie Village Church of Christ, which of these churches more nearly resembles the light we remit here at Prairie Village? In our family, we've had problems. There have been times when we have sat down together and expressed our differences. Not once have we asked someone to leave the family and go away from us. Brother, we have had a commitment to work through our differences, respecting each other in spite of differences that we have, and maintaining our family. Brother, we need active programs of work, such as converting the lost, edifying the saints, helping those who are hurting, and lifting the spirits of those who are down and depressed. It is very possible that by now some of the members of the church at Ephesus had been Christians for as much as 40 years. And how often in the latter years of life do we find men and women who used to be diligent in serving the Lord retiring retiring from the Lord's labor. Can you believe it? I have heard of men and women who retired from work say to the church elders or the leaders, "I am retired, so don't ask me anymore. Take my name off of the work list. Let the young ones take over. I'm done." There is never, never a time to grow weary and quit altogether. Circumstances and health may force changes, but never to stop altogether, and brethren at Ephesus certainly had not. Our Lord said in Luke 17:10, and I want you to turn there and you might want to highlight this. Luke 17:10. Listen to what Jesus says here. Luke 17:10. "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we're unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do." So when you have worked all your life for the Lord and done everything you could, say to yourself, "I'm an unprofitable servant. All I have done is what was my duty to do." Now let's go to Revelation chapter 3. And verse 4. Let's see the Lord's complaint about Ephesus. It says, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." After all those years, they no longer had the same fervent, fiery love and devotion that had characterized the church in the beginning. They were still doing the work, but the motive was not the same. Now here we are, just a little more than 30 years later, and things have changed. They are now being reproved for having left their first love. But you know something? Anybody else looking at them would have said, "Boy, that's a sound church. That is a sound church." They were doing the work. They were fending off false doctrine and such, and the Lord knew. But the Lord knew that the light, fire had gone out. The fire had gone out. He knew that. There's more to serving God than to just the mechanical, traditional routine. Now, I don't know exactly how old Prairie Village is. I don't know how old the church is. I'm sure Charlie and Sharon do. But let's just assume for this lesson it's about 50 to 60 years old. So I ask you, do you have the same fervent, fiery love and devotion that characterized Prairie Village in the beginning? And here we are again, about 50, 60 years later. Have things changed? Have you left your first love? We are still fending off false doctrine and such, but has the fire gone out? Remember, there's more to serving God than just going through the routine of a Bible class, singing and prayer and giving and so on. Has the fire gone out here at Prairie Village? Has the Lord removed the candlestick? We need to remember individually how we felt when we rose from the waters of baptism. How we felt when we obeyed the gospel and thrilled again to the joy of having our sins forgiven. We need to have that zeal and enthusiasm that comes from being a new convert. That excitement that causes us just to want to teach everyone around us. Brethren, it doesn't matter if we're converted last week, 3 weeks ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago. We should ask ourselves as individuals, do I have today the same love and fervor for the Lord today that I had when I became a Christian? Am I attending the church this morning because this is where I want to be? Or am I here out of only a sense of duty? collectively. There comes a time in the life of every congregation when it should take a fresh memory, fresh inventory of its whole life and disposition. It needs to examine itself closely and be reminded again of the day when it mounted up with wings of an angel, ran without weariness, walked without fainting, and renewed its strength in the Lord day by day. And that takes action. And you notice Jesus said, and do the first works. If you were to ask me about the candlestick being removed from the church, I really don't know when one would know. I do think there's indication when the Lord is blessing the church and when He is not. I think you know that too. Once again, let's think about the church at Ephesus, which was told that it had left its first love. When the fire and the fervor is gone, certain of the work may continue, but there will be no evangelistic zeal. Since the purpose of a congregation is to shine forth with the word of the Lord in their community and to be the pillar and ground of truth in that area, when they stop doing that, they have thwarted the very purpose for their existence. Hence, I believe the candlestick will be removed in the sense of, as far as the Lord is concerned, they have no right to exist as a congregation. Now, there can be individuals in the congregation who remain faithful, like a few in Sardis who had not soiled their garments. For the Lord views us as individuals. But as far as I know, only the Lord knows when the candlestick is gone. Listen to me now and listen closely. Revelation 2:5 says, moving the candlestick out of the place, therefore, means that the congregation was to cease to exist. When the candlestick is removed, the congregation will cease to exist. I can guarantee you that. This, however, is conditional, to be prevented only by the fact that the congregation would repent and return to its first love. Then I hope you can see how important the leadership of the church is. If we choose qualified leaders, we should never have the candlestick removed by our Lord. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Brethren of Prairie Village, I appeal to you in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13 to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. In conclusion, I want you to turn with me to Matthew the 5th chapter. Matthew the 5th chapter and verse 13, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I like to ask everyone who is not a Christian to do something for me right now. Just privately and to yourselves, state the date when you intend to be baptized into Christ. Have you done that? Now state the date that you're going to die. If you don't know the second date, then I beseech you and beg with you not to delay the first. You become a Christian by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And you'll rise from that watery grave, a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. If this is the day Jesus comes back, we'll all go home together. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Maybe you've been an unfaithful Christian. You can take care of that too this morning by coming forward after you repented to God and let us know you repented. We'll pray with you and pray for you. Again, the only thing you should want to take to the grave with you is a worn-out body from exercising faith in Jesus and leading others to Him. We can help anyone make their life right with God. Come now as we stand and as we sing.